Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don Neely view system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. And on Friday, the 19th of April, it's time for our Friday Five, where we take a look at some of the top Nottingham Forest news stories from this week. In a moment, I'll be joined by the Maradona of the Midlands. But firstly, we're going to head it over to Jamie Martin to bring us the top five news stories from Forest this week.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now the headline to this week's news, Nottingham Forest have announced on average a 24% increase to season ticket pricing. This week, Nottingham Forest fans discovered price for renewal or purchase of season tickets next season through a band of social media posts by the club. Many have been left shocked and disappointed after a huge hike in prices for some. With an average increase of a price of 24%, season tickets at the City Ground have become even more expensive, despite not knowing of which league Forest will be in next season. The cheapest ticket stands at £190, with the most expensive £850, depending on what zone you're in. For some students moving from the child bracket to adult bracket, an increase of £660 to their season ticket pricing has caused many issues, with some young people forced to reject renewal and no longer secure a seat at the City Ground. Amongst this, families are struggling, with some forced to tell their children they can no longer afford to watch the football team they love following the major price hikes. Forest insists that even with the highest season ticket pricing standing at £850, it is still the sixth cheapest in the Premier League. Chairman Tom Cartledge has insisted that the increases are to ensure the club is financially competitive in wake of new squad cost ratio rules coming into play next season. Now the second piece of news this week, safe standing is set to be introduced at the City Ground from next season. In more City Ground related news, Nottingham Forest this week announced that as of the 24-25 season, safe standing will be present at the stadium for the first time in decades. Under new plans, approximately 2,300 standing spaces will be created in the Upper Bridgeford Stand for home supporters in Block U1 and U2, with some also in Lower Bridgeford Stand Block Z. Safe standing will also be present for away fans in the Lower Bridgeford Stand Block W. Safer standing is, according to the chairman, being introduced as a means to enhance atmosphere at the ground and cut down on unsafe persistent standing, giving fans the safer option to stand at games. It is unclear as to whether it will be extended in the future, but more clubs are looking at safe standing options now across the Premier League and beyond. Forza Garibaldi have pulled out of Man City display amidst a pricing disaster. Forza Garibaldi, a supporter-driven movement which aims to reinvigorate support at Forest, has announced that a planned display for the club's game against Manchester City will now not go ahead amidst controversy surrounding season ticket prices. After stories of families forced to stop attending the City Ground and young people, the next generation of fans, being priced out of watching their team, Forza Garibaldi released a statement sharing their concern at new season ticket pricing and the effect it will have on the famed City Ground atmosphere, which has dwindled even this season. Following the statement, Forza said that a display against Manchester City would not go ahead, with a trustee describing it as like a strike. It's not something the group wants to do, but feels it must. A strong message from Forza Garibaldi. A display which was planned against Fulham, which did go ahead and seemingly worked wonders, featured an image of Morgan Gibbs-White and encouraged his side to shut out everything and play football, was also described as negative by an unnamed figure at the club, Forza Garibaldi say, also sparking some tension between fans and the club. Poorly managed situation at the moment regarding the Forza Garibaldi situation, and the reason they are frustrated, completely understandable as well, and the Forest communications causing some issues between fans as well and the supporters group. So not a great week there for Forest regarding communication with the fans and also the relationship with Forza Garibaldi, who do so much for the club's atmosphere. Now, the fourth piece of news this week, though, Wolves away fans aim sexist chants at partner of Forest star. During Forest's exciting fixture against Wolves, which ended 2-2 last weekend, fans of Wolves aimed sexist and misogynistic chants at the partner of Morgan Gibbs-White, citing more reasons for women's support groups in football and heavier scrutiny on clubs to act further on sexist and misogynistic chanting. In the game, Wolves fans aimed disgusting chants at Gibbs-White's partner, Brittany, for whom has been with the English midfielder for years and has now had a baby with. The insults were sexist and misogynistic and showcased exactly why women's support groups in football, such as the newly established Garibaldi Girls, must exist to ensure women not only feel safe, but to put further pressure on clubs to act in the wake of rising hate towards women who attend football matches. It is unclear as to whether action will be taken, but reports have been lodged, and it is encouraged that anyone who has witnessed any form of hateful chanting should report such incidents to the police. And the final piece of news this week. This week marks 35 years since the Hillsborough tragedy. This week marked the 35th anniversary of the tragic Hillsborough disaster, which took place in an FA Cup semi-final match between Forest and Liverpool in Sheffield in 1989. A game in which fans entered ready for excitement of a potential place in the final of the FA Cup soon ended in fear, with many left with trauma for life and some unfortunately losing their lives. After overcrowding caused by the opening of Exit Gate C, fans entered the Pens causing a crush, leading to the deaths of 96 Liverpool fans, with the 97th passing away in July 2021. Our heartfelt thoughts and condolences are with the families and friends of those passed, and our support is always with those who witnessed the incident and still feel the pain to this day. Nobody should go to a football match and not come home. So that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest related news throughout the week.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, let's get straight into it then. Joined by Maradona of the Midlands, like I mentioned. Maradona, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, George.
Perfect. Now we'll get straight into it, and feel like I'll give my say before, because the season card price, well, it's been an awful week for Forest PR, hasn't it? And as an 18-year-old fan, it's probably affected me more than anything. So I think that's why I probably should have a say on this, because I know that it's not just me and not just my situation, but, you know, there's a big sense of injustice about this. So in the space of the last three seasons, the first Premier League season, my season ticket was £95. Last year, it doubled to £190. And this year, it is now £850. That's a 347% rise from last season to this season. Now, granted, the first season in the Premier League, £95, probably a little bargain. And even paying double last year, while it was substantially a lot more, I didn't really mind it because Premier League football, you know, you accept the payment. But to pay £850 this season is absolutely ridiculous. And it's not just me. Adults in my stand for where I sit in Brian Clough Upper have gone up by £200, I believe, this year, someone was telling me. And it's easy for fans to say. I've seen a lot of things saying, you know, just move and find a seat somewhere else. A, that's still 550, I believe. And B, it's the seat that I've sat in for 10 years. It's the seat that has made me fall in love with football, the people that I sit with and see every week. And, you know, it's not that simple. Football's an escape for many people. It's helped me through some tough times in my life, and because of how accessible it is. The club have completely disregarded young adults who are either students or starting out in the workplace. And minimum wage, even in this country, it's nearly £3 less, I believe, for people that are 18 to 20 compared to 21-year-olds. And that is reflected by most Premier League clubs. But Nottingham Forest have clearly decided, no, we're not going to do that. You know, they're charging £44 per game. They're not going to be able to do that, particularly if we go down into the Championship. And you saw how they failed to, you know, really sell out the cup tickets. It took a while, particularly for the second replay, to sell out. And you'd think that COVID and Forest staying up showed Forest and football how much fans meant to clubs like Forest, particularly the way we got promoted, the way we stayed up. That epitomised that, you know, fans are such an integral part to modern football. And without that, I'm certain Forest would have gone down last season. They turned down a £7 million sponsorship last season at the start. And they'll benefit, what, £3 million from this? So if they'd have accepted that sponsorship, that could have funded at least two of these rises. Forest can, they can bring Vera onto the pitch, and was it Dorothy a few weeks ago as well? But the actions that they've done in the last few weeks, speak volumes about the actions and the mentality of the people at the top of the club. And that was also followed by the naive announcements, the unaware social media posts that mocked supporters, that goaded people that couldn't afford to keep going to football. It was absolutely ridiculous. There's no sympathy towards football fans. And it's a very, very sorry state of Nottingham Forest. I mean, it's gone around on Twitter a few weeks ago that football belongs to everybody, the tweet that Forest put out regarding FFP. They need to take their own advice on this, really. Maradona, I'll let you come on in that. Do you have any other initial thoughts to add to my little rant there? I'll take a breathe and have some water.
Yeah, just breathe, George, breathe. Let me have a lie down. yeah, it's ridiculous. Which walk of life do you get a 25% increase from one year to the other? They're taking the mix, to put it politely. And to punish students like that, I can't imagine when I was a student even beginning to understand where I'd find that sort of money from. I mean, you're sort of hard pressed enough as it is. I just don't understand why they've gone down this route. It seems like the fan advisory board were equally blindsided. They seem to have been disregarded in this respect as well. They were completely surprised by this. Well, any recommendations they made seemed to be ignored. And as you said, it's for a paltry £2 or 3 million. They've undone years of good work. They've gone back to the sort of things that Fawaz used to do. And yeah. I remember going to matches then and looking around me and thinking, God, why is everybody so old and why is everybody so quiet? Because it was all I could see was middle-aged men around the stadium, around me, and the atmosphere used to be terrible. And this is going to endanger you doing that again. You're going to get a very middle-class, middle-aged demographic in the stadiums again, and the atmosphere is going to suffer. It's crazy. I can't believe they thought it'd be a good idea, and it's just so unfair. Rezoning seats as well.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. I mean, fine, they've got to compete financially with other clubs, but do it gradually. Is the £1 or 2 million here isn't going to suddenly make us a top player in the Premier League. We're not suddenly start going to compete with Champions League places. I remember what the club's for, who it's for. It's for the fans. Without the fans, there is no club.
And Nottingham is renowned as such a working-class city. Yeah, it feels like those people are going to be sold out, and I won't be surprised to see, you know, the demographic change. Like you say, I've just done some research about other Premier League clubs. So the bottom nine, and pretty much every one of them offer a sort of concession for people that are my age. So Sheffield United offer 18 to 22. Burnley, 18 to 22. Luton has not been out this year, but last year they offered 17 to 19 and 19 to 21. Everton have two that go all the way up to 25. Brentford to 24. Palace to 21. And the maximum price of all of that, of those clubs that I mentioned, is Crystal Palace, where 18 to 21-year-olds will be paying £625. The next down from that is about 390 at Everton, 470 at Everton. So Forest have completely blindsided things. And it's little things, isn't it? Like, they even upped the senior members by 1 year. I mean, what's the need to do that? That's just selling people out. Social media posts. They've just got everything wrong, Maradona, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, it doesn't surprise me that much, because ever since the chairman, Tom Cottage, has come in, he's, in every interview I've seen him do, he's mentioned increasing revenue. Mm-hmm. And for a club like Forest, that means one thing, sucking as much money as you can out of the fan base. So in that sense, it didn't surprise me at all. The background of Tom Cartledge is he's going to be after as much money as he can get for the club. So that seems to be the primary role he's been brought into, as well as looking after the stadium. So it's just so short-sighted. And then to sort of fall out with Garibaldi and everybody else, it's just been such a disastrous week.
And Cartledge came in as this sort of man of the people. I've been a Forest fan for all my life, but since he's been in, we've had the PSR thing, we've had the threat of moving away from the City Ground, and now this. I mean, they're not all his fault, but it's certainly not the best start to his time at the head of Forest, is it?
Yeah, no, he's definitely not a man of the people. And I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that a club owned by a bunch of millionaires with a millionaire chairman isn't in touch with people. Maybe to them, an extra few £100 isn't a lot of money. Maybe they're not aware that could be that just increasing a season ticket by £100 would mean the difference between somebody having to decide whether they want to pay their gas bill next winter or go to a Forest match. Maybe it shouldn't surprise that they're out of touch, but boy, they are out of touch.
And there's even issues in the stand, isn't there? You think the hot water in the stands, the PA system isn't great, the floor always gets sticky. And my grandma sits next to me, she can't even see the scoreboard. So with all these issues, do you think it's unrealistic that fans think at least some of these issues should be fixed for us to be paying this amount of money?
Well, no, that's exactly the point. When if you're asking top dollar money for an experience, match day experience, you've got to offer the same facilities off the pitch and a football team on the pitch that does more than just win three games a season at home, which is nothing what we've done so far. It's not hardly top flight entertainment, is it, when you're watching Forest? It's really tense. It's often drab. We don't score many goals. We don't win many games. So they've made a rod for their own backs in that sense as well. Because when people say, OK, I've paid all this money now, entertain me. Come on. And just the basic facilities like that. It's ridiculous how they haven't managed to sort that out so far.
And I mentioned it in my little rant, didn't I? But the fact that Forest last season, and I know it was Nicholas Randall and it's a slightly different leadership, but they turned down that sponsorship offer and, you know, tried to make themselves look good with the charitable thing. But then that increase, less than half of that, they just put on the supporters when an energy company or whoever it was willing to pay that money. It's just like, where's the business sense in that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that will rankle supporters, because it seems like we're paying for the club's mistakes, not only on the sponsorship side, but the signings they made. Yeah. Who thought signing Origi when he'd sat on the bench all that season for £4 million a year wages was a good idea? All the other signings they've made since they've been promoted, the 27 players, it feels like we're paying for their mistakes. And it's really not fair.
And a key thing to come out of this that a lot of other clubs do is loyalty. I mean, Forest don't really show much loyalty towards their supporters in that sense. The only one I can think of is the away members, which in the Championship had loyalty points. Now we have the sort of exclusive 400 club that not many people are a fan of. I mean, I'm in it, so I'm not complaining, but it is a very closed market and there's not much wiggle room. So it'd be interesting to see how much the club can mess that up this summer. But, you know, I looked at Luton's and they had cheaper tickets for fans that have been there for 5 years and then for 2 years, and there's sort of four age categories. So do you think that regardless of what division we're in, loyalty should be rewarded in football?
I do. And just the basic concept of a season ticket is that you get discounted match day tickets. £44 is not a discounted match day ticket. I think the only sort of fair pricing in out of the lot of them is maybe the Zone 3 and Zone 4 prices. They're just around about the right sort of ballpark. Even those work out about 30 quid a ticket, which isn't a massive discount really from a match day price anyway. I think the honest truth is that the club don't necessarily want season ticket holders there because they can sell match day tickets for a higher price and so make more money on a match day that way rather than just having season ticket holders there. And the loyalty thing, it's just, I don't know, it's so confusing. Everything, all the away membership, the different tiers, the silver, gold, this and that. It just does your head in trying to just get a match ticket. I wish you could just go back to the old days when you just went and queued outside the ticket office all night with a sleeping bag to get your derby tickets. It used to be quite fun. And just sitting there on a laptop, pressing refresh and people sort of having these secret tricks of having to do something with your cookies and do something that refresh, clearing your cash. It's just so annoying. I really hate it. But I don't know. The only thing I can suggest, and I think it doesn't just apply to tickets, it doesn't apply to this season ticket waiting list, which I think people are crazy to pay £10 administration fee for. What administration work is involved in that? They've set up a website and it automatically goes onto an Excel spreadsheet. How is that costing £10? I think you boycott it. If we don't buy these things, if we don't go to the matches, they'll have to come down. It's the same with football shirts. Those shirts cost them about £5, and that's about being generous, about £5 to make a football shirt. And they are selling them for £70, £80, £90. They're having a laugh. Don't buy it, people. Let's make a stand. If they can do it in Germany, I can't understand why they can't do it here. The Champions League semi-final consists of two German clubs. They've got nowhere near the sort of TV money that we have in this country. And their match day tickets are a fraction of what ours are. I heard somebody on the radio, an Arsenal fan, he went over to the Bayern Munich match and he got there a day early. He managed to get into a Champions League quarterfinal at Dortmund for €18. Can you imagine it? €18. And why are we paying 44 quid to watch Forest play Luton or somebody? It's not right. We've got to make a stand on this. They're taking the mick.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point, actually. I was going to sort of say, what can we as fans do? Because I remember, the only thing I can remember Forest fans really protesting was when I was about 11 or 12 or 13, and I went before one of the final games of the season with a Fawaz out little banner. I've still got that in one of my Forest memorabilia boxes, and I felt like such a little traitor here protesting against the club. But that's the only real thing I can think of and remember Forest doing in the past. And obviously, Jamie said that as the third story, but we've seen Corso Garibaldi pull out of a display. I mean, they're unlikely to sort of do a display in the ground against the club because that'll burn the bridges that they have. But we've seen, you know, the Forza Garibaldi and the Supporters Trust come out on national radio, particularly to talk about this. I mean, what can we do? An open letter, maybe? Because it's got to be something that is going to damage the reputation of the owners, because it doesn't seem like any sort of financial protest from us is going to get us anywhere.
Well, I think everybody's made the point pretty vociferously on social media this week. And I think that's all you can do. You just maybe write a letter to the club. And when you're at the next match, maybe have some sort of protest. I don't know, with placards and what have you. Or you've got to let them know we're not happy with this. This is just not right. Just say there's a hiking of 24%. It's ridiculous. Hey, why? I don't know. Why is the main stand seen as such a prestigious venue? Yeah. Why are you paying £800 to sit in the main stand? What is the honour of sitting there so that you're close to the director's box? Is that why it's so much more expensive than other parts of the ground? I do not understand it at all.
No, yeah, I think many people would agree with you there. Just finally on the Forza Garibaldi thing, then what do you make of them pulling out of the Man City? It doesn't sound like there was going to be much as certainly the last two home games. Just seems like it was maybe a few flags and things like that, but the Garibaldi, I think rightly so, have decided that actually, since you blindsided us, we're not going to help that. I mean, would it have much of an impact on the players on the pitch? I'm not too sure. So I personally think it's the right thing to do, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think it has a high visual impact, sort of not being there. And the story, more than anything, the story around it, the knowledge that they're not doing it, they are boycotting it, that'll have an impact off the pitch. And on the pitch, the players will hopefully just be concentrating on defending. So I don't think it's going to harm the players' chances much. But it's something they had to do. It's a very visual way of showing our feelings and making a stand against the club.
Yeah, and just lastly on this, I mean, if we talk about the fact that we don't even know what league Forest will be in next season, and charging £44. Granted, there's more games in the Championship, so it won't quite be that much. But £44 for a Championship game, it seems absolutely baffling. If you remember, even in the promotion season, I remember some people missed out, but my little cousin picked up a half-season ticket quite easily right next to me in the seat that was vacant next to me. So it's only the last few years that tickets have really got that demand. So were Forest to go down, the club are surely going to have to lower these ticketing prices, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I remember during the Chris Hughton season, trying to get rid of a few tickets when we were on holiday. I couldn't get anybody to take one. Nobody wanted one. There were free tickets. They just go to the match. Nobody wanted to go at all. We're not far away from that. You see, it's very, these things can go up and down very quickly. Before you know it, we're back watching Forest on a cold Tuesday night against Barnsley in front of 21,000 people. So they've got to be careful. The club have got to be careful. They can't take this for granted. The 10,000 waiting list is soon going to disappear if we're in the Championship. Yeah. There's not going to be 10,000 people wanting to go and watch Championship football. And I think it's very naive for them to sort of put that out there and to sort of rely on that as an indicator of what people will want to do. I'm pretty sure just the price hike itself will have knocked that 10,000 down a lot. Overnight.
Do you think Forest can get out of this? Because, I mean, I don't really think they're going to reverse the decision, but I've seen a proposal on Twitter that maybe they could give season ticket holders a free cup game. I mean, that would be unheard of in modern times, and it'd be just Forest luck to get three away draws and then end up not having a home draw. But do you see that a way out that the club can do it? Because it's unlikely they're going to reverse their decision now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the League Cup game, the first League Cup game, always used to be included in your season ticket. And so that's a relatively low cost way of the club making amends with the fans and making a little bit more worthwhile, a little bit more worth value for money. But I think it's very hard to make a reputation and very easy to destroy it. Mm-hmm. And so, but this week they really hurt their own reputation. They sullied their good name, and it's going to be a hard fight for them to win it back. I think it's going to take probably another couple of years of sort of doing everything right, all their social media, because after the Prime Minister's visit, there's just been sort of one bad news story after another with the club, and it's just the fan base just turn. You just see negative comment after negative comment on the club's Twitter feed, and that's very difficult to reverse. It's going to take something special to change that.
And they don't out themselves. I mentioned it, thinking my rant again. I mentioned loads in that, but the fact that the night after they announced their season tickets, they then did a goading post about the amount of people on the waiting list, and then some perceivably made up stat. It's probably true, but made up stat that, oh yeah, look at the amount of people that have decided to renew now. They've got a long way to go to restore that faith, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, that renewal one was meaningless because they put it out about 12 hours afterwards. It could have only been 200 people. Last year, only 100 people may have renewed in the first 12 hours. So unless they put out, it was so many thousands of people renewed, it doesn't mean anything. It could have been 10 people last year and 20 people this year. But it didn't mean anything. And it was just tone-deaf posts. You just have some sense. Just have some. Look, just, I kept on seeing on the messages, read the room. And it's exactly that. It's read the room. Well, people are upset. They don't want to see you being happy about how much money you're making. People don't like that. When they're struggling, they don't want to see you go, oh, yeah, I'm fine. You are. You can't pay your gas. I just bought a new Porsche. They don't want to hear that.
Yes, wise words from the Maradona of the Midlands. If only the club hierarchy could listen. But we'll move on to the second story and we'll park that there for now. But that second story was, I think, part of the deceptive tactic from the club to try and hide the season ticket pricing. It was announced on the same day that safe standing was going to be implemented next season. Now, I don't know if this is just because I'm furious with the club. So it's good that it is finally being implemented, but there's still some weird nuances about it. They're not putting it in A or B block. There's only half of the lower bridge for that safe standing is going to be in. Bear in mind, they all stand up, meaning even in FA Cup games, sometimes we have to give the whole of that. There's going to be a section of those supporters that won't have safe standing, but will then still stand up. And then there's a section of the upper Bridgeford who, looking across from the Brian Clough, aren't particularly always on their feet, and they're going to have safe standing. So although Maradona, it's a positive thing, I believe, to have safe standing, the club have gone about it in a weird way once again.
Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense. I mean, having it in the upper tier sounded a bit dangerous to me. I was vision of people sort of falling off the upper tier and to the bottom.
They've got necks, so it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to become a standard part of every stadium. So in that sense, it's not really a story, because every stadium the next few years we'll have them. But yeah, the logic of where they're putting them, I don't know. I don't understand it myself. So, but yeah, well done for putting it in, because it will solve a problem in the lower tier, especially upper tier. I don't think people particularly wanted it. So I don't know if that's going to solve anything, but yeah, it's progress, I suppose. Probably would have been more roundly welcomed if it had been on another day, but anything the club does now, the next few days is going to have a bit of a taint to it.
I think you're right. I mean, off the top of my head, I think only Brighton, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Wolves, maybe Bournemouth, Fulham. I think they're the only. So there's about maybe 60% that have it. So Forest are sort of joining the majority, which I'd agree with. But does this maybe show, with the Premier League pricing as well that Forest have implemented on their fans, does it show like a change in mentality from the people at the hierarchy of the club, whether rightly or wrongly, that they're sort of thinking they're an established elite Premier League club now?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be part of stadiums at probably both, all divisions eventually. It's just they've probably got the money there now to spend, thinking let's do it. I don't think it increases the capacity at all. I think it's still the similar capacity. So it's just give them some credit. They're just maybe trying to help fans who want to stand up. I'm afraid my standing days are well past me now. I feel like a good, nice seat when I'm watching the football, but there are still a lot of people who like standing there. And if it helps them out, it's a good thing, I suppose.
Yes, correct. But it's very hard for me to give the club any sort of credit at the minute.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We'll take a break from our half an hour rant, and on the other side, we'll bring you the rest of the news that Jamie brought us.
Like all of our podcasts this season, this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Make Green King your go-to destination for the season's final stretch. But why? Well, for one, you can wash every televised Forest game down with delicious food and refreshing beverages. And with 900 sports pubs dotted around the UK, chances are you're within walking distance of your local Green King. Let's be honest, watching football is way better with friends and family. So get the squad together for every televised Premier League fixture in an atmosphere worth sharing. That includes huge title showdowns, huge. The race for European qualification and nail-biting relegation six-pointers, unfortunately, involving our very own Nottingham Forest. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hello and welcome back to 1865, the Nottingham Forest rant. And after our little hiatus, we're going to move on to the next story Jamie brought us. He did say about the Forza Garibaldi that's been pulled out, but we spoke about that in the first half. So rewind that if you want to hear about that. But the next story is about the backlash, which has came from the sexist chanting that was sectioned towards Morgan Gibbs-White and his girlfriend Brittany from the Wolves supporters at the weekend. Now, Maradona and myself perhaps aren't the best clued up to talk about something like this, but someone that certainly is, and you'll have heard her probably whether you listen to this podcast regularly or not, is Ellie Mollison. She contributes to the pod, like I've said, and she's also founder of Garibaldi Girls, and here's her take on the situation.
I think anyone who was at the Wolves game would have heard a particular chant sung by Wolves fans. I won't repeat it because it does involve a derogatory term against women. And it is misogynistic because to sing about somebody's girlfriend, and it was in particular Morgan Gibbs-White's girlfriend, Brittany, to spread rumours about her and then to call her this derogatory term that is particularly offensive to women and can damage their reputation in 2024 is so disappointing. I expected better. But it does just prove why we need initiatives like Her Game 2 and why Garibaldi Girls exist, because if I heard Forest fans singing that, I would be incredibly disappointed, or singing anything similar, I would be disappointed, and it does make women feel less welcome. So I'm hoping that something will be done and there will be a sanction of some form.
Thank you, Ellie, for that. Now, it comes a day or so after an article emerged from Eni Aluko that was stating that women don't feel safe in football stadia. Now, it had very mixed reviews, I guess. There was fans calling in radio stations to oppose to what she's said, and very little agreement on social media. And I've got to say, personally, I go to Forest with my grandma, like you probably know, and I can't say I've experienced any sort of abuse towards her in that manner, but she's, no offence to her, she's a bit older. Perhaps the abuse wouldn't be sectioned towards her. But I did message Ellie about that today, and I won't go into the details of what we said, but I think she was edging on the side of what Eni Aluko was said. So it's a debate that's going to rage on. But we mentioned earlier, Maradona, we're perhaps not the best to talk about this, but it's a repeated theme now, isn't it? The abuse from Wolverhampton Wanderers supporters. And it's no wonder that Morgan Gibbs-White acts in the way he does when he plays them.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really, because, I mean, they got a good transfer fee for him. He's one of their sort of homegrown players. They weren't playing him, so I don't know why they're quite so upset with him for leaving. But however upset you are, in this day and age, you can't really indulge in that sort of chanting. 20 years ago, it was more commonplace. It wasn't right then, but people just accepted that was just the way it was. It happened all the time. Victoria Beckham got it a lot in those days, I remember. And I'm I'd say I may have even joined in at some point against David Beckham. It was the sort of thing young men do. And especially back in the 90s, it was maybe not as enlightened times as they are now. But it's so we've all got to learn. And this, I think this will slowly die out. People, when you shine the light on it and people realise maybe doing it thoughtlessly, not thinking there's anything wrong with it at all. But when you point it out to them, well, look, these people do find it offensive. And it is derogatory. Maybe there'll some people think, yeah, well, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be doing that. And next time round, there won't be so many. Or if there are some people doing it, some people will turn around and say, can you stop that, please? It's not right. It's the way sort of racism has sort of been tackled slowly down the years in football grounds. And this, if it makes women feel uncomfortable, is not right there. It shouldn't be in there. And I'm sure it will work out. Eventually, it might take a few years, but yeah, we've got to sort of drive it out.
Yeah, 100%. And incidents like this, I suppose, show why these new initiatives like Garibaldi Girls are so important and are so needed. So we hope that as much as incidents like this, they're a reminder that we're in the right direction, but there is still a long way to go. So hopefully, like Maradona said, we can find that way and get to there. But we'll move on to the final story that Jamie brought us then. And it is the fact that it's 35 years since that horrible day at Hillsborough where 97 Liverpool supporters lost their lives watching football. We're now going to hear from Forest fan Pete Hillier, who was a Forest fan at the game and who also featured in a recent podcast launched by the BBC to raise awareness of Nottingham Forest fans' experiences from that tragic day.
It's been, it's been an interesting couple of weeks on the Hillsborough aftermath front. Mostly prompted by the work of Sarah Julian at Radio Nottingham, who cottoned on a couple of years back to the campaigning I was doing around that. She picked up on the existence of the HSA and the fact that they were supporting people in Nottingham, and that there was a Forest supporters group now set up that was active. It's a small group, wide range of people from those very, very, very profoundly affected who have really struggled to cope over the decades to those like myself who it just pops up every now and then. But it's a nice group. It's a social group. It's not people just sitting around being mournful all the time. It's nearly all still very active supporters, some who still can't face going, but some who are still home and away everywhere. So it's an interesting mix. The group exists because of the kindness of Liverpool supporters reaching out and fundraising and realising that there were 28,000 Forest fans there who saw awful things that day. So the group exists to support one another and it's not really a campaigning front. It's there's a small element of that around the hate chanting, which hurts and embarrasses us, and also a low-key but moving on campaign that for some sort of memorial or place of reflection at the City Ground, possibly in the new museum if it ever happens. That's something I started asking for of the club a few years back. They do seem to be engaging with that, and the latest from the chairman was that it perhaps would be something that they ought to consider. I think his latest quote was that it might be that they haven't done enough, which is progress, because I was just repeatedly knocked back historically on that. But yeah, just the recognition is a real step on, and it's not to take away from the fact that it's Liverpool's tragedy. It is, and it always will be Liverpool's tragedy. But I think I've said it before, going to a football match and watching 97 people being unlawfully killed is not in the realm of normal human experience, and it takes a bit of processing. So it's good progress. Like I say, Sarah at the BBC has done a fantastic job. The podcast she's put together is a really powerful thing. First time I've ever heard testimony from players. I've heard the clips of Brian Laws, and he speaks very powerfully of the effect it had on him, and particularly on his family. I don't think that's ever been recognised before. So, real progress on that. It's a good thing, and we'll see where it takes us.
Pete, very powerful words there. So, Maradona, I'll invite you to share your experiences from the day and sort of say how much of a positive it is that, you know, these forgotten accounts are finally getting listened to, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the day very clearly. I was a bit too young to go at the time, but I remember listening to it on the radio and as it unfurled, as events unfurled, it was just, I remember my aunt being very worried. And on the BBC, they put up a telephone helpline number. And I remember her calling to find out what was going on. My dad and all my uncles all went up together in sort of the same car and came back. They never really spoke about it afterwards. It's not something they've ever really spoken about. Initially, it was very much a Liverpool tragedy, and at the beginning, it was very much tainted and portrayed by the press and the police as almost a hooligan caused disaster. That's obviously been proven wrong now down the years, and all the conspiracy between the police to hide the truth. But for many years, it was just a very much a Liverpool thing. So it's interesting now to see it coming out that Forest fans are affected by it too, and they've sort of lived with it for all these years. But yeah, if they're getting help and they're all talking about it, that can only be a good thing. Just sharing that sort of that hurt and everything, and remembering the most important thing is to remember the ones who died and not to let it happen again. Mm-hmm. And just to remember to question authority when stuff like this happens. We as fans are a powerful force when we want to be, and we've got to stick together. We've got sometimes, I think down the years, the enmity between Forest and Liverpool, they were big rivals at the time, and the tribalism has sort of maybe stopped Forest fans from expressing their sympathy for Liverpool as well. But I think that's broken down as times evolve and society's changed now. There's not quite that macho culture around as there used to be back in the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, it's all good, I think, is that we're remembering them. And if the club can put up some sort of memorial at our ground, that's all for the good as well.
I think remembrance is the key thing about this. I mean, it happened 16 years before I was even born, but the amount you hear about it, you know, it's, as much as it's a harrowing experience, it is nice that, you know, we're never going to forget those people. And it comes up in loads of essays that I'm doing at uni. It's something that I think English football, as much as it's a traumatic experience, we're never going to forget it. And that's probably the main thing to come out of this. Just before we go, there's been a breaking story today, which is the scrapping of FA Cup replays next season. It's a decision that the Premier League and the FA have came to, not really in consultation with the EFL, it seems. And I've seen a statement from Tranmere actually saying that they called the decision, I think it was disgraceful, the word that they used. It may come as a positive, Maradona, given Forest's replay issues in the Cup this year. But it doesn't come as much of a shock, really, does it?
It doesn't. I mean, the Premier League just seems to just want their cake and eat it all the time, just sort of whittling away at all tradition, and just trying to cut themselves off away from the Football League as much as they can. I mean, as a Forest fan, the FA Cups provide nothing but disappointment for me my whole entire life. So a few less matches might not be a bad thing. but it's, yeah, for those, it's really selfish thinking just to sort of cut them off from the replays. And it's just such an important part of the tradition, just a little club holding on to a Premier League giant for that draw. It's like winning the cup for them on the day. And just for the years ahead, they can sort of build their club on the finances they make from it. So it is really sad. And it's just the other changes they're making as well, sort of moving the FA Cup final to before the end of the Premier League season. It's just really cheapens it. And it's... They're really ruining the sort of legacy of sort of being the traditional end of the season, and I'm really sad about that because I don't like it when there's Premier League games afterwards. If the team's in the final and they're going for the league title, they're going to put out a weakened team, and so it's really poor in that sense.
Yeah, and the Cup gained a lot of traction recently because it's been put on ITV and BBC free to air everything, and now I think next year it's going on BT anyway, so. I think that it looks like they're just trying to grab as much money out of it, but it seems like they're killing it. And it's baffling that round one and round two, who have no Premier League clubs, the Premier League have now decided there'll be no replays in that. It's a baffling story. But I think, Maradona, you want to come in? You look like you're ready to poised to speak?
I think I heard on the radio there might be something to do with the increased Champions League. Maybe you're not allowed to put on live matches when the Champions League matches are on, something like that. But that was somebody's theory I heard, but I'm not sure if that's correct. I think it's just top flight matches you're not allowed to put on. But yeah, it's... I mean, as a fan of Forest, who we've been looking at Premier League clubs for the last 20 years with sort of daggers because they've acted in a selfish way, not looked after us as a Championship club, not looked after our other fellow Football League clubs. And for us to sort of be up there now and sort of acting in a similar way as came out with the vote recently when they were sort of talking about distribution of more money to the Football League clubs, it's really disappointing. And it's just, people just want to look after number one. I'm all right, Jack. It's they really don't care about the other clubs and how strong football is as a whole. And it's short-sighted because that is the strength of English football. It's the pyramid and it's what makes it so interesting and unique in the world.
Exactly. Well said. Like most things on this this episode, Maradona, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you as well for joining us, listener, on this, extended version of the Friday Five. We'll be back for a match report after the Everton game. I've got to say, I'm not a bit nervous for that. I'm going to the Goodison Park, and unless Willy Bolly's fit, I am really fearing that opposition. But hopefully Forest can surprise us all and pick up 3 points, which will go wonders to keeping them in the Premier League. If you want to get any of the links to the pod, the Instagram, Twitter, social media, you can search the words 1865.football on Google and it'll come up. Have a great weekend and come on, you Reds.
Podcast Network.